We have to have a strategic mood. We have to construct the world of tomorrow. It's a systemic transformation of the world. So we have to define how the world should look like, which we want to come out of this transformation period. I respect China's achievements, which are tremendous over the last over 40 years. I think it's a role model for many countries.
Welcome back to Tipping Point. I'm your host, Kara McKinney. That was, of course, World Economic Forum founder Klaus Schwab slobbering all over China's authoritarian governmental model to the Chinese Communist Party-owned broadcaster CGTN. Now, keep in mind that he's saying this as the U.S. now faces a shortage of Tylenol, partially due to a surge in kids coming down with RSV. I bring this up because during the COVID pandemic, aside from all the Wuhan gain-of-function testing and the lies about people dropping dead from COVID triggering worldwide panic for lockdowns, and the lies about ventilators that Chinese scientists push, causing more unnecessary deaths globally, recall that also China threatened to shut down exports of drugs to the U.S. That's what happens when we sell out our manufacturing. According to these numbers from Politico, compiling data from the Commerce Department for the year 2019, quote, China accounted for 95% of U.S. imports of ibuprofen, 91% of U.S. imports for hydrocortisone, 70% of U.S. imports for acetaminophen, 40 to 45% of U.S. imports of penicillin, and 40% of U.S. imports of heparin, end quote. That's terrifying, and that's the model Klaus Schwab wants us to follow. In addition to all the vaccine passports and QR codes and those scary robots telling people to stay shut up inside their homes indefinitely, I don't think so. Now, the Washington Post is reporting today that, quote, a majority of Americans dying from the coronavirus received at least the primary series of the vaccine, end quote. That figure is about 58% since August of this year. This report comes out on the heels of Dr. Anthony Fauci's last presser the other day, which he brought back Biden's infamous winter of death speech to scare all the unvaccinated. So obviously the vaccine isn't working the way it was sold to the American people. And now a new lawsuit is showing exactly how the White House, Big Pharma, and Big Tech all colluded to basically psyop the public on it. A federal judge is now ruling this week that former White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki will have to testify in the case brought by the Attorneys General of Missouri and Louisiana. So joining me now to discuss is John Schwepp, the Director of Policy and Government Affairs at the American Principles Project. John, thanks for being here tonight.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Great. So what do you hope to learn from Psaki's deposition?
Well, I think we want to know, you know, when this collusion took place, what specifically was going on. We've known this for a while, especially with government colluding with big tech to censor information, which, by the way, is a clear and obvious violation of the First Amendment. And so I think this is going to be very interesting. I was amused to learn that Jen Psaki, who was a big advocate of everyone and their mother getting subpoenaed for January 6th, is suddenly saying she doesn't have the time to do this. This isn't fair. You know, why me? So that's pretty interesting. But Kara, just to touch on what you, I think, really smartly pointed out in your opening segment, is this is all about becoming China to these guys. All of this authoritarianism, the suppression of speech, the modern neoliberal movement, which is a bipartisan movement, the uniparty, so to speak, they really do want to model us after China. And so it's going to be up to us to really resist that. And I think part of that is making sure that free speech is not negotiable.
And it's funny because some of the stuff that they're asking her about is stuff that she talked about right there on the podium in front of all of our eyes, talking about the White House, you know, talking to Spotify or Facebook or all these different groups about misinformation and, you know, downplaying some things and pushing up others in social media feeds. So a lot of it is stuff that she just talked about right there on the podium. And you're right, now she says, I have this new show coming out on MSNBC. I don't have time to sit for a deposition. You know, I'm too fancy for you people. But yeah, every, you know, MAGA grandma has to sit for their own, you know, persecution, basically by the DOJ. But it's very interesting to note, though, that now I think that now the judge is saying it has to go forward. I think December 8th might be the date. And I think she did get a partial victory in her eyes that it will be partially sealed because, and this is the key, her and her lawyers say that if, you know, what she talks about in this deposition is, you know, released to the public, then people might misinterpret what she's saying. Does that mean that the public will just know the truth and they can't spin it? That's what they're really afraid of here?
Yeah, I think so. And she could do, you know, this deposition could do a lot of damage to this White House. And, you know, look, this is pretty blatant stuff. You cannot do what she did from the podium, which is to coerce companies, you know, with the threat of antitrust and all these other things looming, that they need to censor speech. And again, the thing that's even more frustrating about it is that a lot of that speech turned out to be true. You know, we were being censored early on for any sort of concerns about side effects from the vaccines, or even saying something like, you know, hey, actually getting the vaccine won't prevent the spread of coronavirus. And that was the stuff that social media was kicking people offline, banning them for. And that was all coming from the Biden White House.
And speaking of that, I want to get your response to what we're hearing from the Washington Post now, admitting that, you know, they used to say it was a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And now they're saying that it's, you know, sadly and tragically, it's now 58% of people dying with COVID are people who are vaccinated. So what do you make of that? What's your response to that?
Yeah, I think there was an effort, strategic propaganda effort, to get as many people vaccinated as possible. And look, there's two different sides to that. Maybe that was a good thing. Maybe that made sense. But, you know, ultimately, it wasn't the truth. And I think that's where people need to really recognize, you know, if they were selling us on the vaccine saying, and I got vaccinated, but they're saying, you know, hey, this might prevent your risk of death. Okay. But that's not what they were saying. We can remember, we can read the stories. I know Google's trying to memory hole it, but we can read the stories from 18 months ago where they were telling us, this is how we will stop this from happening. We will end coronavirus. And of course, that hasn't been the case, and that wasn't the case. And so I think, you know, we need accountability here. These are powerful actors who really compelled people into this. People lost their jobs over it, all over bad information, and heads should roll for it, frankly.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. In just last 30 seconds, I want to ask you, because, you know, you're a big policy guy. You know, Republicans did pick up some seats, at least in the House. What kind of legislation, when it comes to big tech, especially to kind of break this behemoth, would you hope that they take up next year?
Well, I'd hope they'd be a little bit more ambitious, but I do think they're going to really tackle this collusion issue. And I think, you know, we've seen legislation from Jim Jordan and Kathy Morris Rogers on that. That's good. It's a good step. But part of the problem with these companies, as we know, is that they are, you know, freelancing. They're taking initiative and doing a lot of things that we would, you know, say is really anti-free speech. And so I think we still need to prioritize Section 230 reform, and we still need to look at antitrust and see if there isn't a way we can work with Democrats to, you know, reduce the power of some of these companies.
Well, John, happy Thanksgiving tomorrow. Early Thanksgiving, I should say. Thanks for joining us tonight.